Hi. Welcome to the Street Preachers Bible class once again. We are dealing with the acrostic TULIP, which of course is a reference to the 5 points of Calvinism, as we've been discussing in the last 4 lessons. This is the 5th of the 5 points of Calvinism. In the previous lessons, of course, I have explained, I think, quite clearly that these 5 points of Calvinism, as they are known, are not derived from John Calvin himself, the Reformer, back in the 1500s. Although, of course, they do agree with his extensive teaching on the biblical gospel. That's why, of course, they're given the nickname, if you like, the 5 points of Calvinism. But rather, they are derived from the Synod of Dort, which took place some 350 years ago in Dordrecht, in Holland. Dort for short, hence the Canons of Dort. And of course, out of that Synod of Dort came the Canons of Dort, the extensive teachings with regards to the biblical gospel. They were dealing with and answering the Remonstrants, the Arminians, who were disturbing the churches then, as they do now, and of course, teaching contrary to the biblical gospel. Arminian heresy, which of course has been around for well, a long, long time. That's the tenets of the Roman Catholic Church, and of course, of many within mainline evangelicalism even today, even amongst those who would term themselves to be Reformed. The Canons of Dort, you can find them online, and I do commend the reading of them to you. Excellent stuff, absolutely solid biblical gospel reading. The 5 points of Calvinism, the acrostic TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, is a summary, if you like, of the conclusions of the Synod of Dort. T, total depravity, which we have covered. U, unconditional election, limited atonement, and then irresistible grace. And now today, the third one, the letter P, which signifies perseverance, the perseverance of the saints. And of course, just like all the other points, they are remonstrated against by the Arminian remonstrants today. They counter each and every one of the points at some point or another. And of course, it's not to be given room in the church. It's another gospel. It's no gospel at all. And if you would read Galatians chapter 1, at least, the first dozen verses at least, and see what the Apostle Paul has to say about those who bring another gospel to the Galatians. Let them, he says, be accursed. So it's not just a difference of opinion, theological or otherwise, one person's opinion against another. It's heresy, it's another gospel, it's no gospel at all. It's not according to the Word of God. So what Calvin says, the Synod of Dort, all these, the teachings of John Calvin and the Canons of Dort, any other confession of faith, Westminster Confession of Faith, the Three Forms of Unity, Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgic Confession of Faith, the Canons of Dort, they are all of them subordinate standards. We bring everything, even those confessional documents, excellent though we hold them to be, we bring everything, all that men teach, we bring to the touchstone of Holy Scripture, to the Word of God. What saith the Scripture is always our watchword. So, the perseverance of the saints, the remonstrants, the Arminians, they tell us, they counter by saying, well then, if this is true, if God preserves or causes us to persevere, the saints that is, well then, we can all live like devils. Well, if that's your point of view, if that's what you think, well, I question whether you've really, really ever understood the gospel or tasted the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So the perseverance of the saints, that's the last of our TULIP, our acrostic, TULIP, perseverance of the saints. Now, the word of God that I would bring to bear upon this, we'll come back to this in just a moment, and one or two other verses, because this is of the utmost importance. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, that's forever and ever, everlasting life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Yeah. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I mean, what is not, I ask you, what is not to be understood by eternal life? And what is not to be understood by they shall never perish, or neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand? I mean, what is not to be understood by that? Just that one verse alone. But I'll give you some more. So, once saved, always saved. Yes, that's what the remonstrants, that's what the Arminians come up against and deny and defy. But yes, that's what, not what we say, not what Calvin says, not what the canons of Dort say, but that's what the Bible says. Yeah, God's word is replete with this. Some, and many of course, deny it. They say that it's assumption, it's arrogance, we can't be sure of our salvation. That's what the Pope's crowd would say to you, as well as the evangelical Arminians. Yeah, you can't be sure of your salvation. What a sad, sad state to have to live your Christian life in this wicked world. Never really being sure that you're saved. Living with the fear and the doubt that maybe perhaps you could fall away, be cast away, and not get to heaven. What a condition to have to live in. I pity such people who have to feel they have to live that way. So John chapter 10 and verse 28, I've already read. Let me read it again. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then John chapter 6, check these verses out for yourself, please, if you have any questions about this. John chapter 6, verse 39, and this is the Father's will, God's will, okay, which has sent me, says Jesus, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Yeah. The Father's will, that the Son, Jesus Christ, who died for his people, his saints, that he should preserve them, that he should keep them, that he should lose none of them, and raise them all up at the last day. If he loses one, fails to raise one of the saints up in the last day, he has failed in his work. He has not accomplished what he was given to do. Perish the thought. Let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 2. As I was given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. All those given to Jesus by his Father, he has to give them eternal life. That's what he's instructed to do. And then verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now let's go over to the Apostle Paul. Let's see if he agrees with the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, if you will, and we'll go to verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, nothing, nothing. In heaven, in hell, nothing in this world, not your sins, not the devil, not the flesh, nothing, nothing, nothing that can separate a true believer from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's go, let's try Paul again. 2 Timothy and chapter 1 and verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And then chapter 4 and verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. This is the gospel that glorifies God, that gives him all the glory because it's all of his doing. He delivers us from that state of death because he has unconditionally chosen us, elected us before the foundation of the world, given his son up to the death of the cross for us and us only, particular redemption, particular atonement for his sheep he gave his life and for no others. And by his irresistible grace gave us to Christ, drew us to Christ, and also preserves us in Christ, causes us, enables us to persevere in Christ right to the end. This gospel is the gospel of God and gives glory to God and to God alone, not to man, not to you, not to I. So the remonstrants, the Arminians, they complain, they whine that this, well, if you believe this, then this will make you carnally secure. If you know that you can't be lost, you know, that you can never fall away, that heaven is yours, well then you can live. Men will, and man can, and they will live like the devil. Well, if you believe that, you truly, really believe that, I wonder if you're a Christian at all. Maybe misinformed, maybe wrongly ill-educated, But I really do question if you've really, really understood the grace of God, the truth that God has brought to you. I understand that there are people who are ill-educated, not everyone who is born again comes immediately, to a full understanding of what's happened to them, what God has done to them and in them. And some of course, are introduced in the providence of God. They are introduced into very poor churches. Some that are, well, not worthy of the name church to begin with. So my suggestion to such is, if this comes as a shock to you, a surprise to you, you've not heard this before, you've not been educated properly in the gospel, then may I suggest to you that you seek out and you find a good, solid, reformed, confessional, biblical church, that is, that teaches the full gospel and that teaches the perseverance of the saints for your comfort, for your consolation, for your spiritual and your eternal well-being. But for those of you who are obdurate, who have heard this before and stand in denial of it, like the remonstrants back in the days of the Synod of Dort, and seek to stubbornly dig in your heels because there's many of you, I have only one thing for you to, one thing to say to such as you, and that is that you repent and believe the gospel. Yeah. So this truth implies the perseverance of the saints. The saints, that is, those who, by the grace of God, unconditional grace of God, have been brought to faith in Jesus Christ, yeah, have been reborn, brought out of a state of death, of total depravity, have been chosen of God, brought to, given to Jesus Christ, drawn to Him. They're saints. They're holy. God has made them holy. He has sanctified them. He saves them. He regenerates them. And then He sanctifies them. He separates them from the world, the flesh, the devil. And He separates them unto Himself. They are marked for God for time and for eternity. They are holy. That's what a saint is. Yeah. So it's the perseverance of the saints, of the holy ones, God's called out ones. And they are given the power in the gospel, the grace of God, they are given the power to live holy lives and to continue in well-doing. Now, if anyone says that they believe in Jesus Christ and that they can live like the devil, well, they've never been saved. I was preaching on the street yesterday, here locally, in the UK, and a man came to me, telling me that God loved everybody, and everybody around there on the street, that He loved everybody, and saved everybody, and that He'd saved Himself, and that He was saved back in 1988, I think he said, and he was blaspheming and cursing the most vile language that ever you would want to hear or not want to hear. Saved? Saved? Come on. You cannot be saved by the grace of God, separated unto God, made holy, made a saint, and live like a devil like that. He had the marks of a reprobate, not the marks of a saint. So anyone who says that you can live like a devil, and be saved, well, they're deluding themselves. They've never experienced the salvation of God. They've never experienced the grace of God. Let me give you one more verse, Philippians still in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident, faith, confide, con is with, fide is faith, with faith. Yeah. Being with faith, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, the return of Jesus Christ. God will perform it. Yeah? The good work that he begins in a saint, in a child of God, he performs, he continues it on until Jesus Christ comes again. They continue because God continues to work in them. We don't need scaring into heaven. Yeah? And we don't need to be scaring people into heaven. Well, you might be lost, you know? You might fall away. God might let go of you, you know? How can you live to the glory of God and in comfort if you believe such a thing as that? Yeah? We don't need scaring into heaven. We need comfort. Yeah? I mean, if we thought for a moment that was up to us, up to me, if it had been up to me, I've been a Christian now 42 years almost. Yeah? And I tell you, if it had been up to me, yeah, during the 42 years, all the stuff that I've been through, yeah, if it had been down to me, if God had not got a hold of me, if I wasn't in the hand of Christ, in the hand of his Father, I'd have been long gone, long ago. But I'm here today still believing, 42 years on, not because of anything in me, but simply and only the grace of God that has not only saved me, but kept me and will keep me right to the end. That's my confidence. That's my faith in God's word in the Bible. Yeah. I have, you have, nobody has any power apart from the grace of God. So perseverance of the saints or the preservation of the saints, you can term it either which way. The way, the Christian pathway is full of troubles, trials, afflictions, persecutions. And in some countries, even now as I speak, there are Christians, dear, dear saints, who are going through the crucible, the crushing mill, persecuted in the extreme, forfeiting their, not their Christian lives, their physical lives, because of their faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But even such are kept preserved through it all. And through all that, whatever comes to us in this life, we need comfort, we need consolation, we need assurance, not doubt, not fear, inculcated by Arminian heresy. A gospel that's no gospel at all. God saves and God preserves. And nothing will ever separate them from him, from his love. He loved them everlastingly. He loved them before the foundation of the world when he elected them according to grace. And he loves them in this world through all their trials, afflictions, troubles, persecutions, even their sins, even the worst of their sins. He keeps them. He preserves them. He causes them to persevere until the day when Jesus Christ returns again. Let me give you a sample, please, from the Canons of Dort. Again, I encourage you please to read the whole thing. This is from the section entitled The Fifth Head of Doctrine of the Perseverance of the Saints. I'm just giving you a taste. I can't give you the whole thing, but please listen. Article 1. Whom God calls according to his purpose to the communion of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and regenerates by the Holy Spirit, he delivers also from the dominion and slavery of sin in this life, though not altogether from the body of sin and from the infirmities of the flesh, so long as they continue in this world. Article 5. But such enormous sins, however, they very highly offend God, incur a deadly guilt, grieve the Holy Spirit, interrupt the exercise of faith, very grievously wound their consciences, and sometimes lose their sense of God's favour for a time, until, on their returning into the right way of serious repentance, the light of God's fatherly countenance again shines upon them. Article 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, according to his unchangeable purpose of election, does not wholly withdraw the Holy Spirit from his own people, even in their melancholy falls, nor suffers them to proceed so far as to lose the grace of adoption and forfeit the state of justification, or to commit the sin unto death, nor does he permit them to be totally deserted and to plunge themselves into everlasting destruction. Article 15. The carnal mind is unable to comprehend this doctrine of perseverance of the saints and the certainty thereof, which God hath most abundantly revealed in his word, for the glory of his name and the consolation of pious souls, and which he impresses upon the hearts of the faithful. Satan abhors it, the world ridicules it, the ignorant and hypocrite abuse and heretics oppose it, but the spouse of Christ hath always most tenderly loved and constantly defended it as an inestimable treasure, and God, against whom neither counsel nor strength can prevail, will dispose her to continue this conduct to the end. Now to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be honour and glory for ever. Amen. Julep, the acrostic, the Synod of Dort, the 5 points of Calvinism, that finishes with P, the perseverance of the saints. This glorifies God, the dross of Arminianism, the heresy of Arminianism, a damnable heresy you must have nothing to do with, but embrace the biblical gospel that God saves, sanctifies, regenerates, and sanctifies, makes holy, separates his people, and keeps them through time and through eternity. Loves them, has loved them, does love them with an everlasting love. This, my friends, this is the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And then, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, that day when he comes again for you to take him to be where he is. That's his desire, that's his will. God's will, and there's nothing in heaven or hell or in this world that can hinder he from having his intended way and will. May God bless you, save you, keep you, go with you. Have a good day. Thank you for listening.